Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Bill McGurn, William McGurn, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes his column, Main Street, looking at the remarks by a senator from South Carolina following remarks by the president of the United States, Mr. Biden, presenting his plan for the American people. It turned not on spending alone, but also on the Democratic Party's strong statements again and again and again about, in quotes, systemic racism. Bill, a very good evening to you. Senator Scott from South Carolina remarked that America is not a racist country, something that, I can remember when that was not a controversial remark, but has become so over these last months. Senator Scott was speaking for himself. He's an African-American. He comes from a state associated with the Confederacy, deeply associated with the war between the states. And your column observes how the president and the vice president reacted. What did you hear from Mr. Biden and Ms. Harris after Senator Scott's remarks that America is not racist? Good evening to you, Bill.
Hi, John. Well, as you remember, that night, Senator Scott was delivering the rebuttal. And of course, that is the worst job in Washington, to be the guy from the minority party rebutting the president, who has all the trappings of his office. In fact, it's hard to think of a more presidential and grand setting than an address to a joint session of Congress. You have the president there, frequently you have members of the judiciary there, the Supreme Court sitting there, and of course you have both houses of Congress. So he's addressing the entire government plus the American people, you know, at a very prominent microphone. So by contrast, when it goes to the opposing view, they almost always look diminished. But this time, Senator Scott just flipped the script. What he said that was most powerful, the most electrifying moment, he said, "Hear me clearly. America is not a racist country." Now, a lot of people take that for granted and think that, you know, that's true and so forth. But we so seldom hear any of our political leaders state it so unequivocally and in such a setting. And it was so powerful, not only that he said it, he went on to say that, you know, as a black senator, even as a black senator, he's tasted some discrimination, you know, been pulled over by the police for no reason and various other things. So he's not saying there's no hangovers from our racist past, but he's saying, you know, we have the wherewithal to deal with them and so forth. Well, the result was the next morning, Kamala Harris was asked if she agreed, and she had to say she agreed. And then the next day, Joe Biden was asked the same question, and he had to agree. This is just unprecedented for the minority spokesman to get up there and force the president to respond to him rather than the other way around. I'm not sure I can think of an example when that's happened before.
No, and the puzzle here is the president and the vice president's response. They waited, or they didn't know, or how do we reason that they hadn't said it before, that they believed they had to respond to Senator Scott? What do we think was their predicate for response?
My own personal belief is that they're not sure. They didn't really agree with Senator Scott, but they recognized that stating so baldly that America is a racist country would be political poison for them. I mean, if you look at their other statements about white supremacy, systemic racism, you know, the White House press secretary responding to that shoot in police shoot in Columbus, Ohio, that actually saved the life of a black teenager, you know, and then she talked about police violence. You know, the logical implication of all these statements is that we are a racist country. And so I don't think it was any coincidence that it happened only after Senator Scott spoke, because they didn't want to say it. They didn't want to say it, what they ended up having to say, and especially in response to a Republican.
The Democrats have spoken of race constantly, before the election, during the election, since the election. They've also spoken of spending, of recovery. Are these things separate Democratic narratives, as you name them, Bill, or are they joined together?
No, I think, look, I think Joe Biden's been very frank about this, that his narratives fit together. Look, the larger idea here is bigger government, government that's more involved in your daily life of ordinary citizens, and that they are going to, like, as they clean the environment, they're going to make our system more equitable. They're going to do all these things at the same time. As they make the environment green, they're going to make it, they're going to make our jobs market more unionized. All these things sort of fall together, and we're just kind of finding out what they mean. I mean, I'll give you an example. In the COVID relief bill, there's a loan forgiveness program. I think it's $5 billion. And $4 billion of this goes to what do they call systematically disadvantaged, socially disadvantaged minorities. In other words, only African Americans, Latinos, Asians, Native Americans, they're the only people eligible for this money. I think this is going to be tested constitutionally. But this is perfectly in keeping with the Biden agenda, that they're going to make these decisions. And it's not a coincidence that the old word equality is gone, equal treatment. They want equity. And in their definition, equity means basically discriminating against other people because of past discriminating, you know, discriminating against new people to balance it out. That's, again, another thing that Senator Scott brought up, that, you know, new discrimination is not the answer to old discrimination.
Did Senator Scott just launch his presidential campaign? Is that the scale we're dealing with here, Bill?
He might have. I certainly think if you look around, if you're a senator or a governor, you look around at the field and you say, what do these other guys got that I ain't got, right? So almost anyone is a likely candidate, or it's within the realm of possibility for them. I think that what we need now more is a recasting of the Republican Party, or like regaining its footing. And most of this means going back to the principles that Republicans have stood for. I thought, frankly, at the Republican convention last year, they did an excellent job of this, showing, taking Republican principles, for example, like school choice, and showing it applying to different groups of Americans we wouldn't have thought benefiting from this, and showing how universal it is and the need. And Senator Scott seems to be, to me, well positioned to take up this leadership and pushing us forward. I think people are demoralized. You know, I don't think that they can survive just being against Joe Biden. And again, that was one of the beauties of his speech. He not only said we don't agree with Joe Biden going down this big government road, but here's why. Americans deserve better, and here's what better looked like. It better looked like, you know, just a year or so ago before COVID, when, you know, minority unemployment was at its lowest in history, when the income gains, the greatest growth in income was at the bottom of our economy, not at the top, all sorts of things. So I think he's a powerful spokesman for that. I think we need that a lot more than we need another presidential candidate. So I wouldn't rule him out.
The last time we had a presidential candidate of any note from South Carolina, it was the extremely unacceptable Strom Thurmond in 1948.
that's right. And he ended up with his own party, right, years ago. Look, I think I have a further bias that I prefer my presidential candidates to be governors. I don't think Republicans have done well with senators. I don't think that the Democrats, frankly, have done well with senators. You know, the Obama administration was almost completely senators. Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, all these guys. And I think there's something to making executive decisions. But, you know, Tim Scott's still young. He could be a governor or something. So I don't rule him out. But I'm looking for an eloquent rebuttal to the Democratic, these huge Democratic programs coming at us with complete lack of skepticism from the media. So it's very, very hard to push back with all these narratives. And I thought that's what he did Wednesday night. He really showed us how to respond to them, how not to be intimidated, and how to have a good tone. You know, he said Joe Biden's not a bad guy, but these programs are disastrous.
Bill McGurn, writing Main Street for the Wall Street Journal. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today.
Save big.